What a magnificent Easter morning. Welcome to Brushy Fork Baptist Church as we celebrate Easter this morning. I have some good news this Easter morning. It seems like our curve is flattening. I'll look in the next 2 weeks for our conversation to change from how do we mitigate the effects of the virus to how do we open up our society and our economy. That is good news. We are thankful that the Lord has seen us through this far, and we look forward to His blessings in the future as we talk about that as a community and as a group of people. In fact, I expect that we will be able to worship together sooner than later. So this is good news for us this morning. Couple prayer requests this morning. I hope that you have been praying for our country, and I hope that you have been praying for our elected leaders. Just as a pastor who has never pastored through a pandemic, they are elected officials who have never governed through a pandemic. So patience and a lot of grace needs to be extended on both sides. There is some concerning news in our country as we think about opening up and how our personal liberties also coincide with the collective good of society. So we need to be in prayer for our elected officials, especially our brothers and sisters in Louisville, who the mayor has decided and declared that he will start collecting license plate numbers and issuing an order of a 14-day quarantine if churches even hold drive-in services. So we need to be in prayer over these circumstances. This is concerning to us, but we know that God is in control, and we want to be good neighbors to each other, and we want to express our religious convictions, but also do that humbly and recognizing that there is a God-given interest for the government to provide for the common good of its citizens. So be in prayer for our country as we start discussing how to open up our country again. And there'll be many different ideas and different opinions on that. But I pray that our elected officials will follow the data, even as limited as it may be. But I am thankful that so far our governor has seen fit that religious liberty is an important thing to be protected, and I am very thankful to Governor Holcomb for that. Also, continue to be in prayer for our local and state and national elected officials, not just in this time of decision-making, but that the Lord would just give them grace, that the Lord would give them peace about their decisions, and that the Lord would lead them and guide them through this time. Also, continue to pray for each other. We have been blessed. Our community, by and large, has been blessed. I know that there are some that are suffering under the disease of COVID-19, but by and large, our community is doing well through this, and we're thankful for that. The Lord has blessed us greatly. Be in prayer for those that are suffering, but also thank the Lord for His provision for us. Some announcements. The Walk for Life with Life Choices Clinic has been moved not to a physical walk, but to a virtual walk. What does that mean? That means on May the 3rd, Saturday, they are encouraging you to take a walk with you and your family, those that live with you, to maintain social distance, but to walk and even take pictures or video that and post it to their Facebook page. If you have questions about that, you can contact the church, and I will be willing to answer those questions. But this is a large fundraising effort for Life Choices Clinic. So if you would like to give to that ministry, you can do that on their website. And we will be sharing information in the description and also in this video about how to contact Life Choices Clinic and to donate online or to mail a donation to them. Also, there will be no pancake breakfast in April. We have decided that it would be a logistical nightmare to try to move that to a drive-in, pickup type of activity. We were going to give that to the Switzerland County Elementary School classes that were going to be packaging food for the hungry and sending it to the third world and different places within the United States. So that event has been canceled. So that need is no longer there. So we are going to cancel the pancake breakfast, and Lord willing, we'll be able to pick up with our next one as these social restrictions are lifted. No blood drive on May the 5th. I've been in conversation with Hawksworth, and they have decided to cancel pretty much all of their extension blood drives. So the only blood drives that they're holding are at their centers in Cincinnati. And the reason for that is because, by and large, most of our region has limited elective surgeries. So the pressure upon the blood banks is not as heavy, and they have been able to maintain the levels that they need through the donations at their centers. But if you feel led to give, their centers are open, and you can visit hawksworth.org, and you can sign up to give blood at one of their centers there in Cincinnati. So we look forward also that the next blood drive, we are going to be up and running, and Lord willing, we will be excited to give in congregation with our community. So we look forward to that. The last announcement, our Annie Armstrong Easter offering. If you would still like to give, you can give online. You can make that designation on our online giving, but we are going to postpone that. And once we join together, we will start a push for our Annie Armstrong Easter offering, which goes towards our North American missionaries. So we look forward to maybe being a little late on that offering, but being able to take part and to support our missionaries with that, hopefully just a couple weeks away. Thank you again for tuning in to our Easter service here at Brushy Fork. God bless. Our call to worship this morning is Revelation chapter 4 and 5. Revelation chapter 4 and 5. After this I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven, and the first voice which I had heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, "Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this." At once I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne stood in heaven, with one seated on the throne. And he who sat there had the appearance of jasper and carnelian, and around the throne was a rainbow that had appeared of an emerald. Around the throne there were 24 thrones, and seated on the thrones were 24 elders, clothed in white garments with golden crowns on their heads. From the throne came flashes of lightning and rumblings and peals of thunder. And before the throne were burning seven torches of fire, which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne there was it were a sea of glass like crystal. And around the throne, on each side of the throne, are four living creatures, full of eyes in front and behind. The first living creature like a lion, the second living creature like an ox, the third living creature with the face of a man, and the fourth living creature like an eagle in flight. And the four living creatures, each of them with six wings, are full of eyes all around, and within and day and night they never cease to say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." And whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to Him who is seated on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before Him who is seated on the throne and worship Him who lives forever and ever. They cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "Worthy are You, O our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For You created all things, and by Your will they existed and were created." Then I saw in the right hand of Him who was seated on the throne a scroll written within and on the back, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals?" And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look into it. And I began to weep loudly because there was no one was found worthy to open the scroll or to look into it. And one of the elders said to me, "Weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered, so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals. And between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain, with seven horns and with seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And he went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who was seated on the throne. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and a golden bowl full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, 'Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth.' Then I looked, and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders the voice of many angels, numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing.' And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, 'To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessed and honor and glory and might forever and ever.' And the four living creatures said, 'Amen.' And the elders fell down and worshiped him." Revelation 4 and 5 is given to us because Jesus died, he was buried, and he rose again. He is the Lamb who is worthy to step up to the throne of God and to take the seal of judgment, and he is the one who is worthy to open it. But not only is he King of Kings and Lord of Lords, not only is he the righteous judge, but he is our Savior and Lord. The first time Jesus came, he did not come as a political ruler. He did not come as one who would upseat the thrones of men. Jesus, prophesied by the prophet Isaiah, came as a suffering servant. Jesus is our Lamb the first time. But the second time Jesus comes, it will not be as a humble, suffering servant, but it will be as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And today we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ because it points not just to his first coming, but it also points to his second coming. And that on that day, he will split the skies wide open, and he will come and he will set all things right. We won't have to worry about pandemics. We won't have to worry about the curse of sin. We won't have to worry about all of that if we are found cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. We too shall experience the blessings of the resurrection. This resurrection morning, we hold out hope because our sacrificial Lamb has paid our sin debt. And we await the day in which he comes in glory. The day in which he comes as judge. The day in which he comes to heal this broken and devastated world. We await our coming King. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that this resurrection morning points us not only to what Christ did, Lord, He is our perfect Lamb of salvation. Lord, He did exactly what You required and commanded in the law. He is the perfect fulfillment. He is the one who stands without blemish before You. Lord, we recognize this morning that Jesus' resurrection is Your stamp of approval on Jesus' ministry at large. But Lord, it also points us to that time in which we will experience the second coming of Jesus. And Lord, that day I pray that each one of us that hears this message would be ready. Lord, that we would be covered by the blood of the Lamb through a personal relationship with Jesus. Lord, that we would know Him and that He would know us. Lord, that is my prayer this morning. I pray that Your Spirit would speak to us, He would challenge us, and Lord, that He would bring to mind, and Lord, that He would apply to our hearts the truth of the resurrection. We serve a great and mighty God. And we have much to be thankful for this Easter morning. And we thank You for that in Jesus' name. Amen. On this great Easter morning, would you open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 28? Matthew chapter 28, we're going to be in Matthew 28 verses 1 through 10. And we are also going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 in a few minutes. Before we do that, as you are turning in your Bibles to Matthew 28, let me just ask you a question. Have you ever wanted something really bad in your life? Have you ever had something that you've set your sights on and you've wanted it so bad? You've worked and toiled and struggled and sought to earn some extra money and to save up and to purchase that thing. Well, in my life, this is a simple example, but I think it is a perfectly applicable example. In my life, I grew up playing soccer. I love the game of soccer. I still do. Don't get to watch it as much as I used to, but I relish the times in which I can watch a good soccer match. And growing up playing soccer, I always wanted a really good set of soccer cleats. And I don't just mean adequate type of soccer cleats. In fact, when I was growing up, technology has changed a little bit, but when I was growing up, the holy grail of soccer cleats was a soccer cleat made out of kangaroo leather. I don't know what is so good about Australia and New Zealand. They provide a soft and just luxurious leather for soccer cleats. And when I was in high school, I had a pair of soccer cleats that was made of calfskin, and I really enjoyed them. But before my junior year, that summer I worked really hard and I saved up and I did all my research. I researched different brands and I went to the stores and tried on a couple different ones, and I purchased my very first set of soccer cleats that were made out of kangaroo leather. A pair of Umbro Special. I loved those soccer cleats. In fact, I could do things with the ball with those soccer cleats that I hadn't imagined of before. It was just something about it. Bend that ball around people and just really enjoyed those soccer cleats. Thought I was at the pinnacle of life. I wanted them so bad and was so happy to have them and to use them. I was hoping to be able to show you those soccer cleats today. I thought that in my old soccer bag, they were in a shoe bag and they were there. But when I opened up that soccer bag, there was not the shoe bag that I was looking for. So obviously, they're just as important to me today as they were back then. you can see that that is not the case. Things get old and they get broken down. They need to be thrown away. But has there ever been something that you've set your eyes on, set your sights on, and you wanted it so very bad? Matthew 28 points us to something that we should set our sights upon. It's much more important than soccer cleats. It's much more important than maybe that fishing boat or that car or maybe that house. Maybe that sewing machine. Maybe that special thing that we have set our sights on. It is so much more important. Matthew 18 points us and tells us and prods us to pursue Jesus so that we will see Him. The big idea of Matthew 28 is that we are to pursue Jesus so we can see Him eye to eye one day. To pursue Him first, we have to not fear Jesus being raised from the dead. Let's read Matthew 28. Now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, from an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen. As he said, come see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and behold, he is going before you to Galilee, and there you will see him. See, I have told you." So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell your brothers to go to Galilee, and they will see me." Let's pray. Father, as we look at this passage, I pray that we would see Jesus and the message that you have for us here. Lord, that you would seek for us to pursue Jesus so that we could see him eye to eye one day. Lord, the resurrection is so important to our faith. Lord, we may be here and struggling, understanding and believing that you could have risen from the grave. Lord, it is not an easy thing to believe and to think of. We don't normally encounter people that have risen from the grave, but the message of the gospel imparts upon us. And not just the message of the gospel, but the witnesses of the eyewitnesses that saw Jesus raised from the grave impart upon us the reality that Jesus is our Messiah. He has paid our sin debt. He went to that old rugged cross. He died. He was buried. And Lord, 3 days later, he rose from the grave. Lord, may we understand. May we see the truth of your word in a special way this morning. May your Spirit impart that truth to us and apply it to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Pursue Jesus and you will see him. The big idea around these two passages of Scripture. To do that first, we have to fear not, for Jesus has been raised. This passage of Matthew, you will notice that fear is a very important part, and that is to be expected. We do not encounter resurrections on a daily basis. In fact, it would have been a very odd occurrence, and it was a very odd occurrence, but it was a very miraculous occurrence to the women that were going to anoint Jesus' body, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, and the other witnesses that responded because of their testimony. Let me just put this out in the open. A true, bona fide resurrection should scare us. In fact, it should drive us to our knees. Because we do not encounter this on a daily basis. In fact, we don't often see people who died, who were buried, and 3 days later came up out of their grave. And it is for good reason that fear has been mentioned 4 times in these 10 verses. In fact, people were told, whether it was the women, whether it was the disciples, to fear not 3 times in this passage. Just for a moment, place yourself in these ladies' shoes. After the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And on their way, verse 2, and behold, there was a great earthquake. That would be scary enough. As you were walking to the tomb of Jesus to anoint his body, you experienced a great earthquake. But that wasn't the only surprise that was waiting for these ladies. For an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. There was an angel there at the tomb of Jesus, and look at Matthew's description of him. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing was white as snow. A couple nights ago, we had a pretty powerful thunderstorm in our area. In fact, the sky was lit up by lightning for quite a period of time. Both our girls eventually got out of bed and came out, and I had the living room window curtains cracked just a little bit, and just about every crack of lightning, that it was dark, and every time that darkness was interrupted by a brilliant stream of light, they kind of gasped and jumped in surprise. The brilliant, blinding light of lightning is startling. And those are the words that Matthew has chosen to describe this angelic being. These ladies had much to fear. Look at verse 4. And for fear of him, this angelic being, the guards trembled and became like dead men. It wasn't just the ladies that were fearful. But think about this. Pilate was concerned about Jesus' body being stolen from his grave. Pilate was worried that the disciples would take Jesus' body and claimed that he had risen from the grave, and Pilate was going to put a stop to that. So by order of Pilate, the highest governing authority in this region, he put a seal on the stone and said, if anybody moves this, they will suffer the penalty of death on the authority of Pilate, the ruler of the region. And Pilate sent his best soldiers. These weren't just prison guards. These weren't just people. In fact, we would think of these people as the special operators in the police force. These would have been the SWAT team, or in the military, these would have been the special ops guys, whether that is Army Rangers or Green Berets or Navy SEALs or Marine Recon or just the different special op groups in our armed forces. These are men's men. These guys have seen battle and they don't scare easily. In fact, they probably thought that they had seen it all. But notice the response of these guys. These strong men who faced fear daily and knew how to deal with it. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. These guards fainted in the presence of this angel. In verse 5, but the angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified." These women had a special measure of grace given to them. God did something beneficial for them, and that this angel spoke to them and said, "Fear not, I do not come to harm you. Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified." And this angel looked at these women and said, "I know who you seek, but let me give you a message. Let me give you a message from the Lord. He is not here, for he has risen." And I don't know about you, but that may have scared these ladies even worse than this angelic being. Because they now have to confront who this Jesus is. Yes, they knew him as a friend. They knew him as a great teacher. And yes, they believed that he was the Messiah that God had sent. But now they are confronted with a new truth about Jesus. He is a resurrected Lord. These ladies were confronted with the resurrection of Jesus, and it shook them. It changed their perspective. The angel said, "Come, see the place where he lay." Then he gave them further instruction. "Go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him." The angel said to these ladies, "Go and tell the disciples and tell them to go to Galilee because Jesus is coming to show himself to you." What a message these ladies received. Notice the response in verse 8. So they departed quickly. Can you imagine? They are standing before an angelic being who is described by Matthew as having the appearance of brilliant, night-piercing lightning. And this angel tells them to go. This angel tells them to go to the disciples. Put yourself in these ladies' shoes. I think I would depart quickly too. So they departed quickly from the tomb. Notice what they were carrying with them. They brought with them fear. This experience had shaped them, had rocked them, had changed them. They departed with a message from this angel, and he had told them to fear not, and I'm sure that their fear has been moved from thinking that they were going to be destroyed, and now they're thinking, how are we going to tell the disciples? What is our life going to look like after our Lord has been raised from the dead? What does this mean for us? They left with fear, but notice they also left with great joy. They don't know what's going to happen in their lives. They don't know what this new truth is going to mean for them. Yes, they left in fear, but they also left with joy because they realize that Jesus is exactly who he said he was, and Jesus has done exactly what he said he came to do, and he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is the risen Savior. So they had great joy because even though they didn't know what was going to come next, they knew whom they believed. So they ran. Not only were they fearful, not only did they carry joy with them, but they went with speed. They ran to tell his disciples. But that wasn't their last surprise. In verse 9, and behold, Jesus met them and said, greetings. If their day wasn't traumatic enough, on their way running back to the disciples, they meet Jesus himself, and he speaks to them. He says, greetings. And these ladies came up and took hold of his feet, and they worshiped him. They knew whom they served. They knew who Jesus was, not just by believing in his words, but they experientially now knew a resurrected Lord. And they fell at his feet, they grabbed his feet, and they worshiped him. And again, Jesus told them, What a great expression of mercy and grace. Jesus knew that they were fearful and that their hearts didn't know what was coming next. They didn't know how to process and what to do with this fact of knowing Jesus had been risen from the grave. So Jesus spoke to them and said, "Do not be afraid." Jesus looked at these ladies and he said, "I've got you. Don't be afraid. Go tell the disciples. I am going to meet them in Galilee, and there you will see me." Jesus gave them some words of instruction. These ladies didn't just have to rely on the angel's words, but they had words from Jesus. The angel's words were pretty impressive, but now Jesus has also given them instructions, and they are to go, and they are to bear witness of what they have seen with their eyes. And then we are told that Jesus appeared to hundreds and maybe even thousands of people that saw Jesus, the resurrected Lord. There are two primary instructions in Jesus' message for them. Fear not and go. This morning, as we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, his instructions have not changed. Jesus wants us to know that he's got us. He says, fear not, but go. Jesus has instruction for us too. Jesus has set us on mission. Don't be afraid and go. We should not fear the resurrection of Jesus because it is the beautiful truth of the possibility of redemption. You see, the resurrection of Jesus sets our feet on the mission of God, sets our feet to going on mission for God. And Jesus is telling these ladies, and these ladies are going to tell the disciples. The disciples are going to run to the tomb. They're going to see that it is empty. They're going to go to Galilee. They're going to meet Jesus. And Jesus is telling these disciples to lay hold of what you have dreamed about your whole life. You see, Jesus knew that the very thing that their hearts had been crying out for was a personal, vibrant relationship with Jesus where he would bring peace to them and to their land. And Jesus has accomplished that through the resurrection. Jesus has come to be their personal Lord and Savior, but he has also come to set captive Israel free. Jesus is the Messiah. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And because he is raised from the grave, we can lay hold of him as Messiah. So Jesus tells us, lay hold of what our hearts have desired for forever. He is much greater than a pair of soccer cleats. He is much greater than a house. He's much greater than a car. He's much greater than a boat. He's much greater than anything you set your heart upon. Jesus is the Messiah. And Jesus says, lay hold of me, and I will give you rest. We should not fear the resurrection of Jesus. Because through the resurrection of Jesus, Jesus reaches out and gives us hope. Paul adds to this thought in the book of 1 Corinthians. So if we are to pursue Jesus so that we can see him face to face, and the first thing we're to do with that is to not fear the resurrection. The second thing is we are to hold fast to the good news of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 22, tell us. I'm just going to read verses 1 through 11. Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you have been saved. If you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain, for I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom all still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, least of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace towards me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is within me. Whether then it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believed. Paul wants us to know that the work of God in his first coming, his first advent, has been complete. The storyline from Christmas to Easter has been completed. Jesus was perfect from his birth to his death. Jesus fulfilled the law of God. Paul wants us to know that the work of Christ in his first coming has been complete. And because of that, he offers us the gift of redemption. And Paul describes this good news of the gift of redemption, the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He sums it all up in the work of Jesus. Jesus died on that old rugged cross. He was buried in that tomb, and he rose 3 days later. And that encapsulates the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is the good news that Jesus brings. And that good news is that Jesus did that for you and me. And we can have the forgiveness of our sins if we believe in him and follow him. So why is this good news? It's good news because Jesus holds it out as the means for a personal relationship with him. But Paul goes on in verse 12. Now if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God because we testify about God that he raised Christ whom he did not raise, if it is
true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we of all people must most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has also come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive, but each in his own order. Christ the first fruits, then it is coming those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father after destroying every rule and every authority and every power. For he must reign until he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death, for God has put all things in subjection under his feet. But then it is said, all things are put in subjection. It is plain that he is expecting who put all things in subjection under him. When all things are subjected to him, then the Son himself will also be subjected to him who put all things in subjection under him, that God may be all in all. So why is this good news? Why is Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection good news? Because if Christ is raised, our preaching and our faith is not in vain. If Jesus is raised, then the message of the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ is not spoken in vain. Our faith that laid hold to the claim of the promise of salvation through the person of Jesus Christ is not in vain. If Christ was not raised, then we testify falsely about God. We are blasphemers about the God that created this world. If Christ was not raised, our faith is futile and we are still in our sins. And if Christ was not raised, then those who have died, they have no hope. But if the good news of Jesus' resurrection is true, then we lay hold to these promises. Jesus is the first fruits of that resurrection, meaning that if Christ was raised, we too shall be raised. If death comes by one man, then by one man so can come life. If Adam brought death to us, then through Christ he can bring us life. And through death that comes from Adam, if Jesus comes, he can offer us resurrection life. But he does this only to those who belong to him through faith in Jesus. And then he tells us, the hope is not just a personal relationship with Jesus, but the hope is a resurrected body that will dwell with God for all eternity. As glorious as the truth that our sins can be forgiven, we hold out not just for the hope of forgiven sins and a relationship with God, but we hold out for a time in which this pandemic will end and all pandemics will end. We hold out a hope in which sin will be dealt with, when justice will reign, when Christ will be our Lord, and we will experience the glory of a resurrected body. Fear not, for God's plan for you in Christ is to give you a body like Jesus' resurrection body, one that is perfect in every way. Folks, a global pandemic, and as horrific as it is, as horrific as this virus, COVID-19, is, and how much destruction is wreaked on our world, it doesn't hold a candle to the power of Jesus Christ. He will overcome the fallenness of this world, and he will give to those who know him a resurrected body. Fear not if you are in Christ. If you are not in Christ, you have much to fear, But Jesus holds out the hope of redemption to him, to you. Would you repent and would you follow him? If we are to pursue Jesus so that we will see him, first, we must fear not, for Jesus has been raised. And secondly, we must hold fast to the good news of Jesus Christ. But thirdly, we must keep working until we see Jesus face to face. Look at verses 50 through 58 in 1 Corinthians 15. I tell you this, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. And in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable and the mortal puts on the immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written. Get this. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Let's start from the back of that passage, from the end of that passage, and work our way back. Why is this such good news? Paul tells us, therefore, my beloved brothers, listen to this. Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Paul wants us to know that we have a purpose in the today and the now. God has given us a mission, and Paul wants us to be at work for the Lord, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Why is our labor not in vain? Why are we to be working for the Lord? Well, he gave us the argument before. Look at this. Why should we work? In verse 50, I tell you this, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Paul holds out the hope to the Christian. Why should we be at work with the Lord? Because we have nothing to fear. Because this perishable body, this body that can be affected by this world, this body that can be affected by disease, this body that can be affected by persecution, this body that can be killed by the authority and the powers over us for our faith, this body is imperishable. Because one day this perishable body will put on the imperishable. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. Paul says we should be at work for the Lord because we hold out for that day in which that trumpet sounds. And all the dead in Christ will rise, and those that are still living will meet him in the heavens. What a day that will be. Because this perishable body must put on the imperishable. And on that day, the words of the prophet will ring true. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The problems of this earth will be put aside, and Jesus will render them powerless. And we will be given glorified bodies. But only if we know Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Whether we know it or not, our heart longs for a personal relationship with Jesus, and our heart longs for that day when everything on this earth will set right. We will not have to worry about cancer. We will not have to worry about COVID-19. We will not have to worry about persecution and death. We will not have to worry about a political leader encroaching upon our religious liberties. We will not have to worry because we will, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords will reign on the King throne of glory forever and ever. And our heart longs for that day. Folks, the hope of Easter is that if we pursue Jesus, we will see that day. If we pursue Jesus, if we seek a personal relationship with Him, if we ask Him to forgive us our sins and we desire to follow Him in discipleship, then He reaches out the promise of salvation to us. We too shall be saved. The message of Easter is that your heart desire can be fulfilled. It's much better than a pair of soccer cleats. It's much better than a house or a boat or a car or anything else that we can set our minds on. The hope of Easter is that we can have Jesus and we can have a personal relationship with Him, and we can hold out hope that one day He will descend on that white horse and we will receive our glorified body and we will live with Him in paradise. But if we don't know Him as our Lord and Savior, if we have not embraced the message of Easter, then we will live for all eternity under His judgment. This morning, I hope and pray that you know Jesus and He knows you. Thank you for listening to our Easter service here at Brushy Fork. If the Lord has laid on your heart to pursue a relationship with Him, I just want to tell you that the Lord pursues you. The Lord wants you to have a relationship with Him, and I'd like to share the best news I can with you. Before I can share the good news, though, I have to share the bad news. The bad news is that we are separated from God. We follow Adam and Eve's choice. We follow their example, and we are sinners. The Bible tells us in the book of Romans, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We are all sinners. We have all turned our back on God. That is the bad news. But there's even worse news than that. Because we have turned our back on God, there is no way that we can fix the relationship. Our decision has been made. There is no way that we can regain the purity that God requires. So God had to step in and do something. We can't do it. The Bible also tells us in the book of Romans that the wages of sin is death. What we earn by our sins is death. That's what we deserve. But thankfully, the story doesn't end there. We do recognize that there is bad news and there is even worse news, that we can't save ourselves. But God chose to give us good news. God sent His Son to be the payment for our sin debt. Yes, those sins bring forth wages, and those wages is death, but God sent His Son to die in our place. The good news is that Jesus Christ went to the cross. We celebrated that on Friday. We celebrated the very day that Jesus was crucified on that old rugged cross. The good news is that God sent His Son to pay your sin debt. But the best news is that Christ's sacrifice, His payment, can be placed on your account. You may wonder, how can that happen? Well, the Bible tells us it's through faith. If we believe that Jesus did what He came and said He did, that He died on the cross, He was buried, and 3 days later He rose from the grave, that is what Paul tells us in the book of 1 Corinthians, that is the heart of the gospel. If we believe that, and that Christ is our atoning sacrifice, He has paid our sin debt,
And not only if we just believe that, but in our hearts, we believe that He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and we want to live for Him for the rest of our lives. We recognize that we are very poor kings of our lives, and we need a Savior, and we need a King who is righteous and just. And we place Jesus as the King of our lives, and we live for Him the rest of our life, then we too can have eternal life. That's the emphasis of Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. Let me share with you that passage of Scripture, and it is one of the most beneficial promises that we can lay hold of. Paul tells us that because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. That is the promise of the good news of Jesus Christ. If you want to accept Him as Lord and Savior, I just encourage you to pray. To pray and to thank God for sending His Son, Jesus, to be your Savior. To ask God for forgiveness. To ask Him to cleanse you from your sins. The Bible tells us that if we ask God that He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, we serve a God who is gracious and merciful. And then tell Him that you want to live for Him the rest of your life. That's what Romans tells us. If we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth that He is Lord, that He is King, then we shall be saved. If you prayed that prayer and if God has imparted that or if God has led you to that decision, would you let us know? Would you contact us at www.brushyforkbaptist.com? Would you send us an email at info@brushyforkbaptist.com? Would you contact us on Facebook and just let us know about your decision. You can find us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/brushyfork. The Lord has led you to a personal relationship with Him. We look forward to hearing from you. God bless you on this great Easter morning.